Now, back to Jim and Randall for more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com.
That's right. Welcome back. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we really appreciate you listening to our program live today. So if you have a question, today is the day to call in. I'm going to give you the local number. The people around the world, they're on their own. 1-888-463-6748. I'll go slow. 1-888-463-6748. Please call in with your question. We're ready to answer it, and we'll do the best we can at giving you a fair and reasonable
impartial
answer. Impartial. That's right, impartial answer. That's because we don't have an opinion on anything. All right. Are you ready, the elephants?
Yes.
Are you ready for the elephants? The elephants are actually suing, and they're suing Ringling Brothers. But
that's
before
right.
you answer this question,
right?
Could you give me a little background on the Barnum & Bailey Circus and the Ringling Brothers? Were they really Ringling Brothers? How did that all come about?
Well, they were Ringling Brothers. That was their name.
Well, where did this all start? P.T. Barnum?
P.T. Barnum had a circus.
He had his own.
He was a promoter.
Yeah.
And he had came over with the big first big elephant here, Jumbo.
Okay.
Elephant. And, in fact, in Carmel, New York, there's the Elephant House, and there's a big statue of Jumbo in front of it.
Oh.
But then he merged with another fellow had a circus, Bailey. I forgot what Bailey's first name is. Barnum was P.T. Barnum.
Right, right.
Phineas.
So it became
something Barnum. But anyway,
Barnum and Bailey.
Then it became Barnum and Bailey.
All right.
So they had the Barnum and Bailey circus.
Okay.
Not a Ringling Brothers, and I don't know how many brothers there were, but they were ringling dingling around, and they had a circus. So
all
they
right.
all merged.
Uh-huh.
And the Barnum and Bailey circus merged with the Ringling Brothers. So it became Barnum and Bailey. And the Ringling Brothers
so
Circus.
Barnum and Bailey Ringling
the greatest
Brothers.
Show on earth.
That's right.
And.
Did you see that as a kid? Did you ever go?
I saw it.
It is the greatest show on earth. I saw it as a kid. Spectacular.
Listen, I used to live in Brooklyn. Before they built Brooklyn College, there was a golf course there, which was abandoned. And in that golf course, Ringling, after they got through in Madison Square Garden,
right.
they would come out and pitch the tents there and have the whole big top and everything.
Really? Out in the
With all
course.
The sideshow tents and everything.
Wow.
All over there. So I know the circus from the old days.
Boy, you sure
I
do.
I know the whole circus, the sights and the smells and the sounds.
Okay, well, speaking
And I
of...
want to tell you something.
It's a pretty powerful smell.
Anyhow.
All right, what happened to the elephants here? They're suing.
They're suing.
Why?
Because somebody said, get a lawyer. The elephants they're saying, look, they're very cruel to us.
Okay.
They said, here, they're actually being represented as I understand it.
By a porpoise.
You're right. the people on some of the ASPCA is in on the thing.
They're in on
also,
the case.
Also the Animal Welfare Institute. I don't know who the... I don't know who the lawyer is, but I believe...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sure the lawyer...
What?
The penguin or something. It's
well,
got to
it
be
is.
An
it's
animal.
A good-looking guy comes in with his tuxedo on, and it looks nice. He waddles in, and he tells you hurting these elephants. And the problem seems to be because they say two things. They use they're chained too much.
That's no
And
good.
They're chained a lot. They say... And this is interesting. They have to, the defense says you have to chain the elephants.
Right.
Because you prevent them, therefore, from foraging their other elephants' food. Secondly,
okay.
when
okay.
they're traveling, you gotta chain them because if the load shifts, the car will fall over.
Oh, yeah, you got a load shift problem.
You know, you got a big, they're pretty big.
All right.
So you got your load shift problem there with the elephants. And then they say they use this, what they call, it's a sharp hook. It's called a bull hook.
I've seen that. That's terrible.
And they poke them. Now, in defense of this, the circus people say, wait a second, that hook is what we've been using, and it's just like a fireplace poker. However, the elephants say, wait a second, it hurts. It hurts to stick a poker in me.
That's
he says, you know, what do you think, I got skin like an elephant? So, in the meantime... They say that the people who know about elephants say these hooks and the sharp tools have been used for centuries in Asia to control the elephants humanely.
Uh-huh.
Now, the point is, the fact that they've been used for centuries doesn't mean it's humane.
Right.
I mean, after all, the Inquisition used racks and
That's
iron
right.
masks
That's
and
right.
all of that.
That's right.
That doesn't mean because they used it, it's not cruel and inhuman.
That's correct.
So, the... the elephant lawyer, whoever he is.
His name is Ronald J. Weasel.
I thought, well, anyhow, he's a heck of a lawyer, Ronald.
He is tough.
He can weasel you in and out of anything.
He is tough.
He says to them, look, first of all, he said,
yes,
you got the United States Constitution.
Right.
And that is a prohibition against cruel and human treatment.
To animals.
Cruel and human punishment.
Okay.
That's if I should be punished as an elephant.
Right.
But why should I be punished? I'm only an elephant.
And I'm a performer.
And that's right.
Exactly.
I'm a star.
Why would you treat
a star is born.
Why would you treat a star like that?
Well, apparently, that's the question they're raising.
All right. Well, we're going to follow this case, right?
Yeah, it's going to go to trial, or it started. The trial started. Trial started open Wednesday, so I don't know if they started the trial yet.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to send our reporter.
We're going to find out what the rules are concerning the elephants and what the decision of the court will be.
All right.
In the meantime.
All right. Well, here's another one coming up. You can talk about this, but we'll send our sports reporter, because he loves circus, Crash Dugenhausen.
And listen, one thing they've said in the courthouse floor, do not throw the peanut shells on the floor of the courthouse. Please, keep the place clean. It's a federal courthouse. Don't start throwing the peanuts all over, and don't feed the elephants during the trial.
And don't expect that they're going to settle for peanuts in
this
case.
That's right. They might settle for peanuts.
Oh, my God. Right.
Where are we?
This show is a circus, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Anyway, but here's one this is circus-like.
Oh, this is...
A federal judge pleads guilty to related sex charges.
Yes. Yes, we have a United States District Court judge. This is not some flimsy city court judge like they are always getting in trouble. But we got a United States Federal Court judge who was appointed by George H.W. Bush.
Oh, my God.
That's the number 41
right.
Bush, who was the first Bush to
right.
become a president. And it is alleged, you got to be careful. It is alleged. That two female court employees who testified that he wanted them to perform sex acts, and he pleaded guilty on Monday to that and to obstruction of justice in exchange for the sex-related charges being dropped.
All right.
Now.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal when you can get it.
The name of the man is U.S. District Court Judge Samuel Kent. Well, Mr. Kent, you can't. And that's why you're in trouble.
Yes.
He pleaded guilty to lying to a judicial committee investigating the sex-related charges. Kent, 59, has been facing 6 charges, 5 related to federal sex crimes and the obstruction of justice. He faces a maximum sentence of up to 20 years in jail.
Isn't that unbelievable? Here's a guy who's a judge.
And a fine of $250,000. What he's going to get, I don't know. He's been on the bench for 19 years. And he should have more sense.
That's the problem.
You don't even put yourself in a position where if you didn't do it, people could imply you did it.
That you did it. That's
don't
the problem.
Don't let yourself get in that.
And here's the problem.
Hands off, boys. Hands off.
He's been on the bench for how long?
It's a bench. It's not a couch. Bear in mind that.
Right. But he's been on a bench for how long?
19 years.
That's the problem. They should have put him in the game. All right.
On the bench.
All right, let's see. We got one more here before we go to our...
That was a very good one. He's on a bench. I put him in a game.
All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Remember that? Listen, that's a true story. I was playing in a football team years ago. We only had 12 players, okay? So, and guess who was number 12? Me. I'm on the bench, okay? And the game is getting close to the end, and one of our players gets injured. And I hear the coach yell, Simonetti, off the bench! I said, you're going to put me in, coach? He goes, no, we're putting the bench in.
Very good.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Wonderful.
All right. Tell me about this federal judge here. Pennsylvania judges, two of them, are sued for kickbacks because they're not making enough money on the bench.
This is it. Here you got your regular corruption.
Right.
Not a federal judge, but your regular corrupt.
This is your everyday.
Your local corrupt judge. This is your everyday local corruption.
What a week, folks.
And a lawsuit was filed against two Pennsylvania judges accused of taking more than $2 million. Now, this is a real crazy situation.
Oh, this is a high-end
local.
Because
these were kickbacks to send youthful offenders to privately run detention centers.
Oh.
So if I have the Jim Hartman Detention Center,
right.
Your Judge Simonetti, God forbid, Right. You're sitting there, and I said, Judge, you know, you send me a few of these kids, and I'll slide you a few bucks.
Right.
So, in Luzerne County, Judge Mark Chiaravella and Michael Cunahan and 14 other defendants, well, they must be the guys in the detention home,
right,
have been gotten themselves in trouble. Prosecutors allege that Caravella and Cunahan took $2.6 million in payoffs to put juvenile offenders. In fact, one of the plaintiffs is a Florence Wallace, whose 14-year-old daughter, Bernadine, having been charged with terroristic threats after getting into an argument on MySpace. The lawsuit said the teenager was not advised of a right to an attorney, was presented to, was a pressured to plead guilty, and then this guy sent, the judge sent this girl to one of those homes for which he got received a kickback. These are fine, upstanding.
Well, here's what I could tell you. We just got a note in from our engineer in Chicago who says every judge in Illinois is now taking notes. It's insulting that PA judges, Pennsylvania judges, thought of something.
That's right. Illinois is supposed to have the monopoly
That's
on corruption.
That's right. Well, there's
All
no,
right, boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's no monopoly on corruption.
I want you boys in the Midwest to remember that Chicago, that town.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready for the next episode of this program?
Yes.
All right, don't sing. It hurts my ears. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Because it's now time for Arrogance of the Rich and Famous. Okay, we had a little interlude, musical interlude, which gave my partner just enough time to find his stuff.
Right.
All right, here we go. Chris Brown. You know Chris Brown? And
oh, yeah, he's
Brown.
An R&B singer.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
I really never heard of the guy till this all happened, because I don't go to rock concerts.
Well, because they won't let you and I in.
Well,
They wouldn't. They take one look at us and they go, wait a second. The geriatrics clinic is across the street. Anyway, he is now quite sorry because he's, you know, feeling badly about beating up this young lady who's also a star named Rihanna.
Well, at first, the story was he beat up somebody.
Oh, okay.
And they suspected it was Rihanna.
I see.
Why? Because Rihanna's face looked like a hamburger. And she's a beautiful girl.
And she hangs with him.
And she hangs.
Yeah.
With him.
Right.
So, no offense. Nothing meant in that regard.
Right.
So anyway, he was arrested, this was a couple of weeks ago, I guess, in suspicion of attacking a woman, which they didn't know who it was, but it was believed to be Rihanna, who was from Barbados.
Barbados, right.
He said he was sorry and saddened about his conduct. He's only 19, she's about 20, and he said, I am seeking the counseling of my pastor, my mother, and other loved ones, and I am committed, with God's help, to emerging a better person.
Well, he's got everybody
Chris,
there.
I want to tell you something.
What's that?
Your mother, your brother, whoever, even God, get a lawyer. That's who you need, is a lawyer. They're not going to help you.
Right.
They're going to do the best they can to forgive you.
Right.
Because, you know, in this earthly existence, we have what we call the civil law. And when you beat up somebody, you might go to jail.
Right.
In the great beyond, in the world hereafter, you're called on the right person. But right here, you need a lawyer.
Right. And
Chris?
And maybe if he's in jail for a few years, he won't beat up any more people.
Right. And I want to give you a little advice, Free. Stop beating up people, you jerk.
Well, we have a good friend of ours here, Senator Bruno, from our New York State Senator, former Majority Leader. He's been charged with some corruption.
Well, isn't that a surprise? Senator,
this must be an all-corruption show.
This is an all-corruption show. If you're corrupt, write in. We'll take
care
of you. We'll get you on the air. This is Joe Bruno, who is the Majority Leader of the New York State Senate, very well known in New York State, and known a lot around, too.
And respected.
He was respected. Well, I don't know. I always suspected the guy would take a hot stove on a July morning. But anyway, Joe Bruno, you're in trouble again.
What did he do?
A little corrupt.
What did they say he did?
Well, he steered contracts. to the right contract, the state contracts.
All right.
And he also diddled and daddled in a few things.
Okay.
That conflicted with his impartial position.
I see.
As majority leader of the New York State Senate, which is
right.
the Senate of a two-house legislature, which has been denominated the most dysfunctional in the world. Not in the United States.
Nope.
In the world.
It's probably true.
I think there might be one worse, but I don't know. This is
right.
But that's the institute mm-hmm. as designated one. And he's certainly difficult. He's had some difficult functioning. This ends a three-year investigation which spanned a range of subjects from Mr. Bruno's overlapping business, political ties, to a friend, Jared Abruzzese.
Oh, Mr. Abruzzese.
Abruzzese.
He's a buddy of ours.
That's right.
Yeah, he used to have didn't he have like a push cart on Second Avenue?
He sold those pretzels from the
right,
push
cart. Right, pretzels, exactly.
And underneath he had a few little grass, it looked like, but it had a funny odor. Anyway, to his, he had real estate, racehorses, thoroughbreds, everything. In the meantime, Mr. Bruno, Joe, you made a few million dollars you're not supposed to have made. A couple of $3 million over the last few years. You're looking into it, you've been investigated, and if you've been the head of the New York State Senate, chances are, I don't want to say it, but Joe, nobody's on your side.
Yeah, might have, he was able to get through that little thing
I think he was out in Illinois
Spitzer.
Visiting where he got these ideas.
He must have got some ideas for that. Well, here's the last one in terms of arrogance, because this is a beauty. Our old friend Gary Collins, TV,
and he is old.
TV guy,
right.
was arrested for the third time for a DUI.
Well, you know, that's every day. We get one of these every time we're on. There's a Hollywood personality
right.
who's drunk. And they are, you know, you have the whole Hollywood scene is one of arrogance
and excessiveness.
I can do it. I'm above the law.
Right.
I'm richer than you. And so forth. Look at them, you know, even in these Academy Awards, they all look like a bunch of spoiled brats. But I'm surprised at Gary, because Gary is 70-some-odd years old.
71.
And he
was... What was he driving?
He was driving a mobile home.
A mobile
home. A motor home, erratically.
A motor home.
That's right.
So he wasn't driving a fast sports car.
No, he was driving one of these big, lumbering... I didn't know they could go fast. One thing, he was wiggling, you know, slow. Anyway, they pulled him out, and he failed his field sobriety.
Well, he was trying to mix a drink while he was driving that thing.
And this is only 13 months after he had been, he had pleaded no contest to a DUI charge California, in Los Angeles. And records show that they also indicate he was convicted of DUI driving under the influence in 2004 in Malibu.
Oh.
So he's a terror on the California roads. I'll tell you that.
He's a regular nightmare on wheels.
Yes, he is. So
71 years old,
Gary,
and he's trying to drive a motorhome.
You're acting your age.
Yeah. Well, folks,
yeah.
as Gary Collins rides off
into the
Pacific Ocean.
Into the sunset.
Which is probably where they'll find his motorhome
right.
next.
Right.
We're going to take a short intermission. Stick with us. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them live right here on TalkZone.com.